Let me just read something to you. It's in the Gospel of Luke and 24. I'm just going to read a few verses from there. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, it's Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices that they had prepared. But they found a stone rolled away from them. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle talks, tales, and they didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that having seen the tomb empty and telling the apostles, they'd heard Jesus teaching. They'd heard Jesus say that he was going to die and that he must rise again in 3 days. He taught them this. He said that you're going to mourn, you're going to weep, you're going to be distressed by all of these things, but then you're going to rejoice and you're going to be abundantly happy. In fact, you're going to be happy forever afterwards because of this. And so what I want to talk about is the next part of this story. I've called it The Road to Understanding, because it started with two men on a journey, on a walk, from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. And these men started their journey off in darkness, in confusion, in distress, real sadness. And yet at the end of the journey, they were just full of joy and gladness. And they just were just rejoicing because they'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And this 7-mile walk started with these two disciples. And they were having a conversation together, actually having a bit of a debate together. They were confused. They were in despair. Utter sadness was just all written all over them. And they didn't seem to be getting very far with their conversation, their debate. They just seemed to be going around in circles with this. But then this random guy kind of walks alongside them. And as they're walking, he says, "Well, what are you talking about? What are you looking so sad? Why the long faces? What's going on here?" And so the disciples turn to him and says, "Well, haven't you heard what's been happening? Haven't you heard all that's been going on in Jerusalem these last few days, this weekend?" And he says, "Well, tell me about it." So the disciples then tell this man, this stranger, all about it. And they obviously thought that he'd heard enough of their conversation to know something about what was going on. So they explain again. He says that Jesus, they said, was this prophet of God, mighty in deeds and words. He was delivered up to the chief priests and all the ruling authorities, to Pilate and Herod, and to be killed. But we thought he was the promised Messiah who would rescue Israel. Everything he said, everything he did, everything seemed to point to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. But we just don't get it. He's dead. He suffered this cruel punishment. And we don't understand any of this. That we didn't see that. We can't see that coming. So they were confused and didn't know what was going on. And they'd also started hearing, hadn't they, the stories about, not even stories, but the accounts of the women seeing angels, sightings of Jesus, and telling the women that he's alive and he's risen from the dead. But it says, doesn't it, in verse 11 there, it said their words seemed like idle tales and they didn't believe them. So the disciples were told about all of these things, And they thought these women were just telling tales, telling stories, had a good imagination. They just didn't know what was going on. So these disciples are talking about this, and you would have thought that having heard the story, having heard this, that the penny would drop, wouldn't you? That suddenly they just realize, yes, that's exactly what Jesus said and taught. And but it isn't. They were blinded. But not only that, but, I mean, they're walking with him. Jesus is walking alongside them, and they don't even recognize him. So here they are on this journey on the Emmaus Road, Jesus walking alongside, and they don't even recognize it's him. Their eyes are darkened and blinded to the reality of the fact that Jesus is both alive and he's right there with them. And I think this is the condition, isn't it, in so many people, that we hear this account of the resurrection. We hear that Jesus is alive. So many people do. But do we really, truly believe that he's right here, right now, with us? That he speaks to us. And when he speaks, our hearts burn within us. This is the Jesus we know. But hold on a second. These are not just people outside of the church, if you like. These are people who've spent time with Jesus, walked with him, heard him, saw him, spoken with him, and they didn't believe. And after they'd sort of, if you like, said to this man, look, have you heard about these things and what's going on that you shouldn't hear? Everyone surely has heard about this. They must have felt the earthquake. They must have heard about the empty tomb. They must have heard about all of these things. Are you the only person that hasn't heard this? Well, Jesus now turns to them and says, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe. This is in verse 25. And all the apostles have spoken. You see, the problem wasn't a lack of information. It wasn't a lack of evidence, but a lack of faith. You see, they simply didn't believe what they'd been taught by Jesus. What they'd learned from the scriptures and heard through even visiting angels. The evidence was there. And simply believe can be quite difficult, can't it? We somehow want to feel it. We want to work for it. We want to somehow grasp hold of these things intellectually rather than a simple act of quietly accepting the truth of God and what he says to us and to allow that to settle in our hearts. We're not asked to believe, if you like, make believe, but to believe the evidence, to believe the scriptures that spoke beforehand of the Messiah. There's loads of them. A number of scriptures recently I've been reading, just looking up, that told about the Messiah's coming, that told about his death, his suffering. I'm sure many of us know them so well. That he would be raised to life. To even believe what Jesus said about himself. To believe the testimony of those who witnessed it for themselves. To believe the angels and the apostles' teaching. And to believe those of us that have had our lives transformed by him. This is one of the greatest evidences, isn't it, of the resurrection, is when we receive Christ and we receive his Holy Spirit, we're changed. We are lights, we are witnesses to the reality of his resurrection, of his life. And people read our lives, people read us, they look at us, and they see the reality of Jesus, or they should. So on this walk along the road, if you like, we can be blind, can't we, to reality. A number of times I pick up the scriptures and what I hadn't seen before, suddenly I see. It's been there all the time, hasn't it? But suddenly it comes alive to us and we just hadn't seen it before. But that's the same today for every one of us, isn't it? Jesus is alive. He's real. He's speaking. But somehow we just don't see it. If we really saw it, and I have to say this to myself as well at times, if I really saw this as much as I should, I think my life would be very different. I think some of the decisions I make, some of the things I do, we'd all make different choices, wouldn't we? We are here, you know, for such a short time. And we're here to live a life that honors and glorifies Jesus, to live a different life. And it's, this is the bit I would love to have been there for. It says, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And this is what Jesus does. The risen Jesus, when we read the scriptures, he makes everything come alive. And it says that their hearts were burning within them on the road. As they're walking along and hearing Jesus speak, things are happening inside of them. They're getting stirred up. Things are rising within them. These people who started the journey in darkness and despair, suddenly it's as if water's being poured on them, and they're starting to hear and receive and know that these things are true. The scriptures came alive to them. The Old Testament scriptures speaking about Jesus, the prophets and so on, all of it started to make sense. And can you imagine the excitement that's rising up within them now to say, yes, it does say that. This is amazing. And then as they carry on, Jesus then, it looks as if he's just going to carry on walking as they turn aside. And they said, no, come on, abide with us. Come and stay with us. We want to hear more of what you've got to say. And so that's what he does. But then it says he breaks bread with them and their eyes are opened. Their eyes suddenly are opened and they see. And this is the wonderful thing that happens when Jesus reveals himself to us. That from a place of confusion, of darkness, of despair, that he reveals himself to us and our hearts start to burn. But you know what? The disciples could have stopped there with a burning heart, couldn't they? They could have just carried on with a sense of, yes, this is fantastic news. But you know what? They wouldn't have seen Jesus if they hadn't stopped him at that point and said, come with me. They wouldn't have seen him. They wouldn't have even known it was Jesus talking to them. They would have gone away with the sense of, yes, I've heard what God's saying to me. But they would have left without actually realizing it was really Jesus. And I wonder how many times we hear the word of God. We hear Jesus speaking in a very real way into our hearts and lives. And we have a warm heart, if you like. Something in us stirs up. But we don't realize it was actually Jesus himself who's with us. And we can have these experiences and this warmth going on and leave church. And then quietly over the days and weeks to come, we can start losing heat, can't we? Starts to go a bit cold. But what they said is, no, abide with us. Stay with me. And he did. And he revealed himself and showed himself to them. And I want to just ask a question as I finish, and then I'm going to hand over for the communion as well. Who will Jesus reveal himself to? The Bible says he reveals himself to those of us who forsake everything, who just give it all up for him. The disciples, in all their weakness, they followed Christ to the very end. They were not perfect, but they left everything to follow him. They were ordinary men and ordinary women just like us. But despite that, they walked and followed him. And these disciples, these two disciples, actually, they were sad and distressed by all of this. Because you know what? They had left everything to follow Jesus, hadn't they? They'd forsaken all to follow him, left it all behind. And now they're faced with this situation. What do we do next? Am I to pick up my life again? Am I to go on as I used to do? Am I to just carry on with life without Jesus? They had nothing. And Jesus will not leave us with nothing, will he? He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us. He wants us to know him personally in a real way. His very presence with us today, walking with us. And in doing that, our lives are transformed and changed, aren't they? I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all do. We're so grateful, aren't we, for his death, that he died for us to take away our sin, that he paid the ultimate price. But we don't just have a dead Jesus. We have a living Jesus, a Jesus who equips us, a Jesus who promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to fill us and to give us new life. This is the Jesus we have. If he'd remained dead, he couldn't do a lot for us. But he's raised to life. He is in glory. And he reveals himself to us today so that we can be lights in this world too. When we read the scriptures, we don't just read about Jesus and God and all the people in this book. Do you know who else we read about? We read about ourselves. We're in here. We're also called. God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. We're in this book, and we too will be raised to eternal life with him. This is the story. This is the truth of the resurrection, that one day we too will be with him. Amen.